It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Coming up on the show, just confirmed, 8:40 a.m., Chris Miller will join the program, the host of the pre-, half-, and post-game shows for the South Carolina Gamecocks. We'll talk a little Gamecock football with Chris Miller coming up at 8:40, 9 o'clock. Kevin and John of the Moving the Chains podcast will be here to run you through the high school football action of the weekend, and then whatever else you guys want to get to for the rest of the ride, all right? That being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's 7:01 a.m. You have less than 59 minutes until you got to be up, showered, dressed, kempt, not unkempt.
Yeah, you want to be kempt. You be definitely kempt. Don't want to be unkempt.
Be kempt.
I know it's Friday, but kempt yourself, people.
Kempt yourself, all right? Get kempt. Get in the car. Get to work. Get in front of the office. Get to the computer. Get logged in. Respond to those emails. And then, at around, I don't know, 8:07 a.m., take that break. Now, what I'd like you to do is when you get to work, when you open up that computer, the first thing I want you to do is go to thefanupstate.com. And I want you to go to thefanupstate.com on your computer. I want you to push the play button that's right on the middle of the page, and I want you to continue to listen to the Rob Brown Show at work. And then when we go to our first break of the 8 o'clock hour, around 8:15, then you can get up, walk down the hallway, go to the water cooler, fill up one of those annoyingly small. Why are those styrofoam cups so small?
They beat the paper things. I can't handle the fill of the paper.
The cone cups?
Yeah, because I know they're wet on the inside, and it just bothers me.
I
don't like the wet paper. And so so you can feel the cold come through the paper, and it makes the paper feel wet on those little cone things. So I don't like the texture when you're trying to drink out of those either. It's just not good.
Ugh. You know, I get the popsicle stick thing.
And all paper straws should be caught on fire.
I get the popsicle stick thing because it does have like a texture to it. And I understand
adverseness works for me. Yeah,
I understand being adverse to certain textures. I for one, I don't eat nuts, almonds, cashews, whatever. I just don't like the texture of particular shelled nuts. Okay, so I get it, but the concept of being adverse to a paper cup because it's wet on the side that you're not touching is wild to me.
It's because think about it. It sweats like the side of a Diet Dr. Pepper bottle after it's been sitting out for a while. It's the condensation that sweats. Same thing with a paper cup. Plus, it's the same thing as a popsicle stick when you're drinking out of the paper cup. No, they've stopped doing that though. I think, do they still have those in places?
Yeah, for sure.
They hate trees.
I don't look.
There was a video of a man who got battered last night.
I don't like paper cups because they're wet on the inside. You know what else is? Every cup. If it's not wet on the inside, it's not a cup.
Yeah, but they're not made of paper.
Okay. All right. Okay. Hey, it's time for the water cooler cheat sheet. Texter says aversion. Yes, that's the word I was looking for and completely incapable of finding. Thank you.
Really good word.
Aversion. I have an aversion.
Mr. Vocabulary over there would know that.
I did. I think I was so stunned that your anti-paper cup, because it's wet on the inside. My brain was spinning in circles trying to come up with a response to that, so much that I blanked out on how to words good for a minute there. Water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this AM. Let us begin, ladies and gentlemen, with item number one. Facing the largest deficit in the fourth quarter that he has faced in 3 years, Lamar Jackson able to come up with another dazzling display in the fourth quarter. Three touchdown passes and one scramble that turned a potential 20-yard loss into a 10-yard gain. Lamar Jackson found Rashad Bateman in the end zone and with a flick of the wrist was able to get the 35th point up on the board for the Baltimore Ravens. Here's my question. Oh, no, someone threatens Almighty Patrick. We can't have it.
What? I thought you were talking about Baltimore and Cincinnati.
Threw three fourth-quarter touchdown passes. The Ravens stopped Cincinnati on a two-point conversion with 38 seconds left to play to hold off the Bengals 35-34 on Thursday night. The Ravens rallied from a 21-7 third-quarter deficit, overcoming a monster game from Jamar Chase, 267 yards, three touchdown catches for him. Baltimore coach John Harbaugh said, quote, "It starts with Lamar and oftentimes it ends with Lamar, but in between Lamar, there's a lot of great players out there that are surrounding him." I think that's kind of where our offense is at right now. The Ravens amassed 389 total yards of offense. 231 of them came in the fourth quarter. Chase finished with 11 grabs for 264 yards and three touchdowns, including a five-yard tutty in the final minute to bring the Bengals within 1 point. Cincinnati, which had lost to Baltimore in overtime last month, decided that instead of risking that, they were either going to win it or lose it. With 38 seconds left to play, decided to go for two and the lead. Joe Burrow's pass for Tanner Hudson sailed high. Zach Taylor said after the game, quote, "We had our opportunity. We got down there, went for two, and it just didn't work out for us. This team is going to continue to put us in good positions, and there's going to be a point in the season where that turns," end quote. The 14-point deficit, as mentioned, the largest for the Baltimore Ravens since the finale of the 2022 regular season at Cincinnati, a game in which Jackson missed because of his injury. The last time the Ravens trailed by 14 with Jackson on the field was 3 years earlier to the night, back on November 7, 2021, when Baltimore rallied from a 24-10 deficit to beat Minnesota 34-31 in that game. Cincinnati had the ball up 14 in the third, but a fumble by Chase Brown gave the Ravens a short field. Lamar Jackson scrambled along the sideline, set up a Derrick Henry one-yard touchdown run with the ball at the 11. Jackson dropped back, retreated all the way back to the 30, then outran the entire Cincinnati defense to the sideline, turned upfield, managed to stay in bounds all the way down to the one-yard line. Derrick Henry would end up punching it in to wrap up. Lamar Jackson finished through the air 25 of 33 for 290 and four touchdowns. He also had 33 on the ground. Derrick Henry, 16 totes for 68 yards and one touchdown. Tylan Wallace finished leading all receivers for the Ravens, 115 yards on three catches, including an 84-yard touchdown. Touchdown passes also to tight end Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman, as well as Nelson Aguilar. For the Bengals, Joey B had a night, 34 of 56 for 428 yards and four touchdowns. Jamar Chase caught 11 footballs for 264 yards and three of those touchdowns. The other one went to tight end Tanner Hudson, who had 42 yards on six grabs and one tutty. However, the Bengals, and this is where the game gets lost, had just 49 rushing yards, 42 of them from Chase Brown
also,
when it was all said and done.
Also, the most egregious non-call since that infamous New Orleans non-call back in the day.
I don't know. Chiefs had one against Atlanta. That was pretty bad,
most egregious since that New Orleans non-call. And the guy who stands up for non-calls, Rob Brown, of course, is going to stand up against those evil referees and tell us why they should have called hands to the face against a quarterback and they should have gotten another play.
Robo umps now.
They wouldn't have caught that.
They would have.
They would not have caught that. Challenges probably would have been a good thing.
But gosh, imagine if you just had a guy in the booth that challenged every call without ever stopping the game unless it needed to be stopped. What if you had one guy that sat up there and he had all the camera angles and he challenged every time a flag came out, he went, nah.
Would that guy have thrown the flag on that play?
You have to think so, right?
No, I didn't say think so. I'm asking you your opinion. Would that guy have thrown a flag on that play?
Well, I would like to think so. I don't know is the answer because there's not that guy.
Wait. Your way is supposedly infallible. It's the way to solve all the problems. So, of course, he would have made that call.
First off, no. I never said it was infallible. I definitely said it is better than just regular-ass refs on the field. It's definitely better than that, as is evidenced by the fact that even you came in heated about it today.
Ravens paid the refs.
Joey B and the Bengals fall to the Ravens 35-34, your final score last night. Let us move on to item number two. We have all been captivated, motivated, fascinated by the story of the spawn of Braun, Bronny James. Well, Bronny James is going to be taking a brief respite from the NBA roster of the LA Lakers as he has been assigned for detail to the Lakers G League team down in wherever their G League team is, South Bay, wherever that is. Bronny James will be on the Lakers roster for tonight's game against the Philadelphia 76ers. He will join the South Bay G League team, according to sources, for their game tomorrow. Home games between South Bay and Salt Lake City over the weekend. Lakers coach J.J. Redick said that the plan for Bronny, quote, to move between the Lakers and South Bay has always been the plan since day one. End quote. James and his representative, Clutch Sports, discussed development through his pre-draft process with NBA teams. Bronny told teams that he was more than happy to bounce back and forth between the NBA and the G League as was necessary. Sources said that Paul advocated for a standard contract, not a two-way deal before the draft, while making it clear he and James were fully open to the developmental process. Players drafted in the mid to late second round typically spend time in the G League gaining coaching, game repetitions, and structure in their respective teams' programs, according to ESPN. During the 23-24 season, 23 of 28 players selected in the second round of the 2023 draft spent time in the G League. Of course, Bronny James, the 55th selection in this year's draft, has appeared in four games this season for the Lakers, one of them in the Lakers' season opener back on October 25th when he and LeBron became the first ever father-son duo to play in an NBA game at the same time. But Bronny will be now sent down to the minors to get some reps, to get some time, to get some developmental work in before he makes his way back up to the show, back up to the bigs, back up to play with his pops one more time again. Let's get to item number three. Until the winning streak comes to its end, every Carolina Hurricanes game will be in the water cooler cheat sheet. Why? Because that is, would you like to count them with me, kids? I'm happy to do it for you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 consecutive dubs for the Carolina Hurricanes, who are now first place in the Metropolitan Division. They are tied with the New Jersey Devils, 20 points apiece for both. However, the Devils have played 14 games. The Carolina Hurricanes have played only 12. So they have reached the level faster than the Devils. And that is why they are currently listed as first in the Metropolitan. Last night, they earned a 5-1 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins when it was all said. You ever heard the clip of Benedict Cumberbatch trying to pronounce the word penguins? He can't do it. It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
I bet it's still magnificent, though.
It's fantastic.
The voice of Smog.
I'll find it during the break. It's pretty good. Anyway, Against Sid the Kid Crosby and the gang last night. It didn't matter. It was all Canes. A two-score game for Jack Roslovich last night. You also netted a goal from Eric Robinson. You had a goal from Jordan Martinook, and you had a goal from Jacob Slavin last night. The Canes are a juggernaut right now. I mean, it's just a fun team. And part of the reason why is they are so free to play on the forecheck because Peter Kochetov has been chef's kiss in the goal. He stopped 35 of 36 shots last night. Did the 6'3", 205-pound Russian, 7-1 on the year, with a goals against ratio of 2.5. That is good for 11th in the NHL, a save percentage of 90% when it's all said and done, which is shockingly low, but it also must be taken into consideration the fact that the Carolina Hurricanes, when they have given up goals, they've given up a few of them. You go back to the beginning of the season where they had the two losses. They allowed the Preds to score 6, the Panthers to score 5. And they have had a couple of games that they've won while giving up 3 or 4 goals, including 3 nights ago when they took on the Flyers and did win, but they won 6-4. But Kochetkov has played exceptionally well in the net and what it's allowed to do. And I'm good with this because the Hurricane forecheck is so good at creating opportunities, extending possessions, and ultimately finding the net that they can play on the front. They can play on the forecheck, which forecheck, for those of you that aren't hockey guys, I mean, sending guys into the offensive side of the ice, sending the three forwards down there and playing aggressive. In football, we'd say playing aggressively. In soccer, we'd say playing on the front foot. In hockey, it's the forecheck. This team is so good at playing on the forecheck. This team is so good at being efficient with the puck up front that they are willing to allow teams to counterattack, which is where the majority of the goals against Pewter has come from. It's been teams breaking away on a counterattack, but they are so few and far between that ordinarily you can, like Carolina can give away a goal or two on a counter from an opposing team and not have to worry about it because the forecheck is so good they're getting 4 or 5 on any given night. This team's fun to watch play. If you like fast, aggressive, upfront, attacking third hockey, and you're not watching the Carolina Hurricanes, you're missing out. This team's fun to watch right now. 8-game winning streak has them tied in points atop the top of the Metro Division, but number one in terms of efficiency in games played. Carolina's fun to watch right now. If you're not watching them, you're missing out on just good. Even if you're not a hockey fan, they're fun to watch because it just never stops. We got to take a break back after this. Talk a little football when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. The Clemson football Tigers drop an L at the house to the Louisville Cardinals last Saturday. They get back on the horse this weekend as they head up to Virginia Tech Blacksburg to take on the Hokies. This game is now massively important because, as we have talked about, style points matter. Like it or not, the folks that will be in the college football playoff selection room are going to award points based on style points. Now, I don't know how much they matter because, as we talked about with John Blau back on Monday, if you missed that interview, it was in the 8 o'clock hour of Monday's show. You can go to thefanupstate.com and go to the podcast page or follow the Rob Brown Show wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, whatever. You can go grab those podcasts, go back to the Monday show, listen to the 8:40 segment, listen to our talk with John Blau, who broke down the loss to Lowell and previewed the Virginia Tech game. In order to keep pace in the conference, which I think is probably the only way that Clemson is going to get in, there is still the shot at an at-large bid. And the good news for Clemson in the quest, if it becomes necessary, The good news for Clemson in the quest for an at-large bid is that the College Football Playoff Selection Committee has once again proven, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not alone in this thought, and I'll tell you why coming up later in the show, has once again proven that one of the considerations that they undertake when putting together the bracket, whether it's four teams or 12, is the brand. Is the brand, right? Yes, it is. I'm not asking. I'm saying. That is not a question. That is a statement. One of the things they take into consideration is a brand, and the reason I can say that comfortably is the Indiana Hoosiers. If Ohio State played the same schedule that Indiana's played so far and was undefeated, Ohio State would be number two or three in the country at the worst.
No, they'd be number one.
Nah, I don't know. If you hadn't played Oregon, and Oregon was also undefeated, at the worst, you'd be number two. Yeah, and I say that because you're number two now with the schedule you've played and a loss.
Which is more proof that they'd be number one if they didn't have a loss. So, because you're at two even with a loss.
However it works out, do we agree that if the Ohio State University horse chestnuts would have played Indiana's schedule but were 9-0 with Indiana's schedule, they would be one of the top teams in America, 1, 2, or 3 at worst?
Probably.
Okay, then brand matters. And how does it not matter?
They were at 2 or 3. They were top 4 the entire time in that irrelevant poll that no longer matters, the entire season. And then they lost to what is now the number one team, was not the number one team at the time.
And why?
They ranked lower. And they played that team within 2 points. That's the reason why they're at 2. It's because of how tight they played the number one team.
Not the question.
It has nothing to do with branding.
It has nothing to do with branding.
Nope, has nothing to do with branding. You played what is now the number one team in the nation to within 2 points, and if someone knew how to slide correctly, it would have been a Buckeye victory.
If Ohio State, that's not the question I asked, if Ohio State played Indiana's schedule, which does not include the Oregon Ducks, and they were a perfect 9-0 with the exact same scores that Indiana has put up so far, where would they be ranked?
Number one.
Of brand.
Not because of branding. I get it if you try to go with another team. It's not working with this one. It's just not.
So then why is Indiana number 9 if Ohio State would be number 1?
Because of strength of schedule.
No. You just said if they played Indiana's schedule and had Indiana's results, they'd be number 1. So why is Indiana not? There is only one answer. Branding. That's it. There's no other way. If Ohio State played Indiana's schedule and put up the numbers that Indiana's put up and the scores Indiana's put up, you just said they'd be number 1 in the country. But Indiana's number 9.
Why are the other undefeated teams not at number 2 and 3? Why just saying Indiana?
Branding. Like, legitimately, I believe.
Is BYU undefeated? Is that who the other one is?
BYU, who is number what?
Obviously.
Right. Because they ain't in the top dogs.
They have no good branding at all, BYU. I mean, they're talked about every single season.
Stop it.
They definitely
are. In what world are you putting BYU's branding on pace with Ohio State?
You talk about BYU all the time, and I get all my sports from Rob Brown. So if you talk about them, they must be relevant.
BYU, who is ranked, by the way, behind Indiana, just so we're clear. Because hashtag branding. So here's the argument that I have. I've got a BYU team that knocked off SMU, handed them their only loss, a front runner in the ACC. I've got a BYU team that knocked off Kansas State, who was a top 18 team at the time, a Kansas State team that has only lost one game since then. Granted, it was a bad loss at Houston, but only one game since then.
All right, so Indiana has better branding than BYU then. Because BYU beat better teams from what you just said. Why are they not ranked ahead of Indiana? Indiana must have killer branding then, according to what you do.
Well, if they had killer branding, they would not be 8-9.
Well, obviously they have better branding than
the
teams that beat better teams.
Here's the reality. Once again, if I was a Buckeye fan or a Georgia fan, I'd say the same thing. But the reality here is, if I took
teams. I wish your team were better.
I don't care about my team.
No, well, you should.
I don't care about my team.
I want you to be happy.
Because I, in the role that I am in right now, am not a fan. I'm not a fan. All right? That's fine. I can't. I take my fan cap off. There's nothing to do with who I like or dislike and everything to do with the state of college football. The reality here is that if the Indiana
Hoosiers... Why isn't Miami number one? because your branding thing doesn't work here.
Yes, it does. Miami's brand has been choke artist for 20 years. If Miami wins a national championship this year, if everything goes that way, the branding becomes Miami's back. They're a powerhouse again. They are now back amongst the blue bloods of college football. And next year's Miami team, don't get me wrong, amongst the brands, now strength of schedule matters more. Miami does not have the brand nor anywhere close to the strength of schedule thus far that Georgia, Ohio State, or Oregon have. But they're number four. Indiana, I would make the argument, and I think successfully, I think I could successfully make the argument that BYU has played the same, if not a stronger schedule than the University of Miami. Miami's got Florida, who is 4-4, Florida A&M, Ball State, South Florida, Virginia Tech, Cal, 1-8 Florida State, and Duke. I would make the argument BYU. So if you want to lean on strength of schedule, and that's a genuine reason these teams are ranked the way they're ranked, then BYU should be ahead of Miami. They have a harder strength of schedule than Miami. But Miami's 4 and BYU's 9. Please explain to me why.
Because according to you, Miami has better branding. Not the best branding, but better branding than Indiana and BYU.
Yes. But if you disagree with that, then explain to me why BYU's 9 and Miami's 4.
I don't know. You're confusing everyone.
I'm not confusing anybody at all. My argument is perfect. Explain to me why BYU with a more difficult schedule is 9 and Miami is 4. Come up with any reason that's not because branding.
Well, Rob, on a neutral field, BYU cannot beat any of those teams that are ahead of them. That's why they're ahead of them.
Oh, so we do rank based on prognostication and not results. Then say that. Then own that so that we can have that discussion. But that's not, I've always been told, that's not how we do this.
You know, here's the thing. Neither one of us know how they're actually doing this.
Oh.
Because we are not in the room with the people who are far superior intellect-wise, the guys who really know ball, because they are the ones who are deciding who's ranked where they're ranked.
Here's the reality.
I would guess it's a combination of all the things that we've talked about. And different people look at it differently in that room. Not everyone is of like mind and look at this criteria the same way, because they're all humans with different thoughts and different processes.
Everybody feel warm and fuzzy now? All right, good. Let me kick the legs out from under that. It's because of branding, okay? It's because brands bring eyeballs, and this has always been about eyeballs.
So why should we care? Why should we watch football? If it's all about branding, we know who's going to win. Alabama's going to win the whole thing somehow.
No, I mean—
Because of branding.
Because once you get to the point where you have brands in positions to be there, once you have brands in position to be there, now we play the games, right? Florida, I've said before and I'll say again, Florida State didn't get bounced last year for any other reason other than the University of Alabama had to be there because you can't have a playoff without the Southeastern Conference. That was the rationale behind it. And it was just blamed on, no, it's because they didn't have a quarterback. Well, we've sent Ohio State with backup quarterbacks. Hell, we sent Alabama with a backup quarterback in years gone by.
All right,
this is the first time ever last year that we said no because of a backup quarterback, which leads me to believe one of two things. Either A, you're inconsistent with your reasoning behind the rankings, or B, you weren't willing to have a playoff without the almighty SEC involved.
Or it's quality of backups. Backup quarterbacks, the backups that both those teams were good enough to start anywhere else. That's what it was. And the backup of Florida State, obviously it wasn't, because it kept them out of the playoff.
Please don't hurt yourself twisting yourself around with the mental gymnastics over there. Because the Alabama backup quarterback, we didn't know a damn thing about him.
That was hurtful.
I mean, I have nothing else. It's just, it seems like I say X and there's always a, whoa, no, but actually, the goalpost is on wheels.
All right,
with this conversation.
So we're doing our job debating about sports.
I agree.
And I'm doing something wrong, apparently.
No, I didn't say you're doing anything wrong. I'm saying you're wrong. You didn't do anything wrong.
Okay.
You just are wrong.
And I'm saying you're wrong.
I know that.
So there.
But
no take talk.
Once again, I asked a very simple question. If I plugged Ohio State into Indiana's schedule and the numbers, stats, results, and points were the same, where would Ohio State be ranked? And your answer was one or two.
All right. So you're right to a degree.
I know.
But it's different for every single team. Again, you're saying Miami's not there because of branding, but
No, stop there, because that is incorrect. What I'm saying is Miami is at four because they are a national brand, and now we consider the strength of schedule an opponent.
Yeah,
and the national brand with a crappy strength of schedule an opponent.
They used to be a national brand, and they're not anymore. That's what you said.
Yeah, that's true.
So which one is it?
Both. They are a nationally recognized brand. The Miami Hurricanes, for a very long time, were the creme de la creme of college football. They are a nationally recognized brand. I would say that they are not as nationally recognized as, I don't know, theoretically, Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, for sure. Not today, not in 2024. But they are a national brand, which is why, as an undefeated ACC team, they are four spots ahead of an undefeated. If anything, Lonzo, you should be madder than hell about this. An undefeated ACC team is getting four spots better love over an undefeated Big Ten team.
I'm not conference guy. I'm not Big Ten, Big Ten. I'm not SEC. It means more. I look at the signs and the better teams seem to come out of those conferences, but I'm not Big Ten guy. The Big Ten's getting screwed over. I'm not that guy.
I don't know what to say here. I believe that the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, and this should matter to you so that you don't get, and by you, I mean the royal you as college football fans, you don't get FSU'd in the future. My point all last year was like, I'm not butthurt for the Noles. The point that I am making out here is that the Noles could have been anybody last year. And my belief is they got bounced for branding. They got bounced because they couldn't have a playoff without the almighty SEC in there. And Alabama just happened to be the team in that role. So, if anyone can explain to me why it is that Indiana at 9-0 out of a Power 5 conference, and forget BYU, we can include BYU because BYU's played a tougher schedule than Miami has, but for the sake of the conference discussion, someone explain to me why Indiana at 9-0 is at number 8, when if Ohio State played the same schedule with the same stats and the same results, we all know they would be number 2. Because I've got no argument other than branding. They're not the horse chestnuts. That's all I got. Does anybody have a good reason beyond that? I wish you the best in coming up with one. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show when the fans.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In upstate. Wrapping up hour number 2 of the Rob Brown Show. show right here on the Fan Upstate. Texture said, Rob, if Ohio State played Army's schedule, they would 100% be a top 10 team because it's Ohio State. Yeah, all right, I agree.
I don't know about that. I don't know about the Army thing.
He said top 10, not number one.
Yeah, because the Indiana thing, Ohio State's still playing basically the same teams. I mean, there's a couple of non-conference that's different, but they're playing the same teams.
Again, I wouldn't even be mad if Indiana was number five behind Miami. I would be fine with having them behind a 7-1 Ohio State because of their one loss, a 7-1 Georgia because of their one loss.
If you, Rob Brown, were to take the branding away and only look at it for what's on the football field, where should Ohio State be ranked right now?
I would have Oregon 1. I would have, because I do think strength of schedule should be a factor. I would have Oregon 1. I would have Georgia 2. I would have Ohio State 3. I would have Miami 4. I would have...
Are you looking at the AP? Because you're doing exactly
no,
where,
I'm not.
Where the AP...
No, I'm not. I don't even have the AP pulled up. Okay. I'm looking at the college football playoff rankings and doing it that way. But again, regardless of what I think, should Indiana be being in the Big Ten...
But if you were on the committee, this is how you would do it. The numbers how you just said. So you flip-flop Georgia and Ohio State.
Yes.
Despite... the whole branding thing, you still think those
Ohio State
are the
has,
top three teams yes, at least. Okay. Yes. All right.
Ohio State has a better loss than Georgia, for sure. Georgia has a more difficult week-to-week schedule than Ohio State.
Agreed.
Right? So, I do think that that matters. But my only point here is, does undefeated in a Power 5 conference not mean anything? And the answer should be, if we're being honest, the answer should be yes. We know the answer is yes. And we know the answer is yes because of last year. We know undefeated in a Power 5 conference doesn't mean a damn thing unless that Power 5 conference is the SEC or Big Ten.
Can you explain Clemson before the loss last week and how far down they were ranked?
So how far down? They were a top 10 team.
Still.
They weren't undefeated.
Branding-wise, Clemson for a while... had a brand that was known nationally to a degree because they won a couple national championships. That puts you on the map a little bit.
I don't disagree.
Or a lot.
Which is why of the one loss teams, they were right there in the mix. They were ahead of Indiana and BYU.
But should they have been?
No.
Branding wise.
No.
Okay.
Branding wise, again, yes, I would say to this day, Clemson is still one of the I would say top 10 brands in college football in America, without a doubt.
Probably
now,
true. But
now, do I think they're staying there? Not if they keep doing this crap.
Yeah, because this is where they used to be, where they are now, losing a couple games, being in the conversation, but not really being in the conversation.
I absolutely think Clemson's brand is on a downward trajectory. Yes, without a doubt. And that's I'm not saying that to be disrespectful. I'm saying that you got your ass kicked by Louisville at your own house. You were in a game with Georgia for a half, and then Georgia blew you out of the water.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah. For the first half, it was like, okay, Clemson's still Clemson. Second half, Georgia, pardon the expression, dog walked you, right? So, Clemson with one loss, though, was still right there in that top 10 argument with a loss. Your top 10 teams, just so for those of you that are maybe following from a distance, at number 11 is 6-2 Alabama. Ahead of 7-1 Boise State. I honestly don't even really have a problem with that. Now, Boise State was undefeated with the numbers they have. I'd say Boise State deserved a top 10 nomination. But they don't. They have a loss and it was a bad one. SMU, 8-1. ACC's not good. I don't have a problem with SMU being at number 13 and fighting their way up. Alabama at number 11, 6-2. I don't really have an issue with that. Because it turns out that while we were all dunking on them like Jordan back in the day, turns out that Vanderbilt loss, not a good loss, but not as bad of a loss as we thought it was. So I don't have a problem with them at 11. Notre Dame, 7-1. I will tell you, Notre Dame at 7-1, their loss might be the worst loss of any of all the one losses in the top 10. Ohio State's one loss was to number one. Georgia's one loss was to number 11. Texas's one loss was to number 3. Penn State's one loss was to number 2. Tennessee's one loss was to Tennessee's one loss was to Arkansas, who is not ranked. That's the second worst loss. Indiana doesn't have a loss. BYU doesn't have a loss. Notre Dame's one loss is worse than both of Alabama's two losses. Northern Illinois. So I don't have a problem with Notre Dame being at number 10 on the outside, too. What I have a problem with is, why are Indiana out of the Big Ten? Why? And honestly, I got less of an argument against BYU being there. But again, I would make the point that BYU's got better wins than a lot of the other teams can claim to have with a couple of ranked wins in there, including SMU.
Indiana versus Penn State, who you taking?
I'm taking Penn State. I'm taking Penn State.
And that's not because of branding. That's because...
I think on paper they're a better football team.
Okay.
But I would also have said before the season, Indiana's going to be a 6-6 football team. They're 9-0 in the Big Ten. They are first place in that conference. And it's not... I mean, it's not like a shock anymore, right? Like, I just need people... I need to know what the metrics are. And I think we had this conversation Wednesday with Denton Day. Texters, and this is a great point. Texters got a very good point. A very good point. Who was Boise State's one loss to? Number one, the Oregon Ducks. That's very fair. Boise State should go up there as well. That's a valid point. Texter said Indiana has played nobody. That's why they aren't ranked higher. That's fine, Texter. I'm good with that. Then explain BYU, who has played some bodies. They played number 13, Kansas State. They played at the time unranked, but now top 13 SMU. So if your argument is Indiana ain't played nobody, Paul, which is a fine argument, I'll accept it. If that is your argument, then explain to me BYU, who has two top 13 wins. So why are they not
again
higher?
BYU versus Indiana right now? If it were the playoffs, I don't think that's how that would work. But right in the middle. So if it was a way a regular tournament works, they probably would be playing each other. You're going with BYU, right?
No. Take Indiana.
You're not.
Yeah. Indiana's defense is legitimate. I don't know how good their offense is going to be when they square off against Ohio State.
So you're saying that's in the right order as far as that goes?
Yeah, I think Indiana's better than BYU. I do. And again, I'm not sitting here screaming like, oh, these are two of the best five teams in America. I don't think that we know yet. Okay? I don't know that we know yet. Texter said, Rob is lying. He picked Penn because of brand. He was all about Indiana yesterday. No, I'll tell you this. There's a reason I would pick Indiana, which is James Franklin still ain't won a damn big game in his career. What was the stat? 11-27 against top 10 teams that aren't Michigan and Ohio State. And he's 3-15 against Michigan and Ohio State. Like, I'm not convinced James Franklin wouldn't crap the bed against Indiana now, too. But for the record, I am all about Indiana. And I am all about Indiana because of the defensive metrics, as I have pointed out a number of times. It is one thing to, they ain't played nobody, Paul. It's another thing to, they ain't played nobody, but their defense is ranked top 10 in the overall amount of metrics defensive statistically. And top 15 in every defensive metric. I mean, there's something to be said for that. They ain't played nobody, but they're beating the absolute hell out of the ain't nobodies that they played. Denton Day and I had the conversation on Wednesday. The best thing that could happen in college football today, and I mean this, would be they should stick cameras and microphones in the playoff selection committee's room. There should be a microphone and a camera in there. There should be a mic on every selection committee member, and there should be a camera at the head of the table so that college football fans can get an idea of why the rankings are the way that the rankings are. Why do you have undefeated Indiana? And if the answer is they ain't played nobody, that's fine. But if the answer is they ain't played nobody, they should be behind BYU. And frankly, if the answer is they ain't played nobody and strength of schedule matters, they should be behind Notre Dame. Because you're fine with having 7-1 teams ahead of them. And while Notre Dame's one loss was bad, for certain, Notre Dame does have a win over a Louisville team that was top 15 at the time, does have a win over Texas A&M, who was top 20 at the time and on their way to a top 10 ranking. They have a win over now number 20, well, not anymore, but at the time, number 24 Navy. Notre Dame's got three top 25 wins in the back pocket. So if the argument is Indiana's ranked there because they ain't played nobody, then why is Notre Dame with three top 25 victories and one loss behind Indiana when you have Tennessee, Penn State, Texas, Georgia, and Ohio State all with one loss ahead of Indiana? The argument here is not that I'm super upset about the rankings. They're whatever to me. Because, again, there's a lot of football that's got to get played between here and the end of the rankings, the last rankings that matter, including conference championship weekend. The issue here is not what the rankings are. The issue is why are the rankings what they are? Because to me, there's a lot of inconsistent logic. There doesn't seem to be a logical path from here to there in terms of the rankings. If it's because Indiana's got a weak schedule, cool. Why are they behind Notre Dame when you got a bunch of other one-loss teams? Is it just because Notre Dame's loss is bad? I don't disagree. But they got three top 25 wins sprinkled in there. Does that not matter? Does it matter less? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, it does not, to me, it just doesn't feel like the logic lines up. And while it maybe doesn't matter all that much when we're sitting in week 10 of the college football season, it's damn sure going to matter at the end of week 13. It's damn sure going to matter at the end of the college football conference championship weekend. And if we have bad logic in week 10, then I can only work under the assumption we're going to have bad logic at week 14. And while we do have the 12-team playoff, and I'm very excited about that. While I am very excited about that, somebody could get left out.
Wow. Somebody will get left out. You know what? A lot of teams will get left out. The same complaints that we got when there was four or when there was two, we're going to get when there was 12. And that's just how it goes.
Right. But again, I'm fine with the expanded playoffs if we get to the point that we go, okay, I can't let a two-loss Texas A&M
in. We need to go to 24, Rob. That's we go to 24.
Oh, listen, as I've already told you and everybody else, that's an inevitability for one reason and one reason alone, another round of games that we get to put on television and make a gazillion damn dollars. That's already happening. But I am dialed in on the game, the football game, the national champion of 2024. And Indiana's a team at number eight, BYU's a team at number nine, that somebody's got to explain the logic to me of why they are where they are. If undefeated doesn't matter, strength of schedule matters more, that's fine. But then why is BYU behind Indiana? Why is Notre Dame behind BYU? And I get it. Texter said, Rob, the loss was to an FCS school. It's an awful loss. I have already said, of every team, I would say in the top 13, 14, 15, 16 teams, Notre Dame has the worst loss, without a question, hands down. I don't disagree. They also have three top 25 teams, top 25 wins, which is more wins over top 25 teams than all but a couple of schools in the top 25. So what matters more? Does the weight of a loss matter more than the strength of a win? Texas said, then what the bleep are we arguing about with Notre Dame? I'm not arguing for or against Notre Dame. I'm using them as an illustration within the overall argument here that the logic behind the way we stack up the college football playoff rankings doesn't click with me. But I also acknowledge I'm a gigantic idiot, so maybe I don't know. Back after this with the Sports Flash is Lonzo.
The Baltimore Ravens, thanks to branding and referees, came back from the largest deficit they've faced in three seasons, and the Ravens' defense stopped Cincinnati 2-point conversion with 38 seconds left to win a 35-34 game. Lamar Jackson threw three fourth-quarter touchdown passes to rally from down 21-7. That's pretty good, actually. And finished the night 25-33 for 290 yards and four touchdowns. Former Carolina Panther turned San Francisco 49er running back Christian McCaffrey is expected back in the lineup for his season debut against Tampa Bay this weekend. McCaffrey has been rehabbing an Achilles injury since early September. Tune in tomorrow at 12:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Wofford Terriers. It's Furman versus Wofford right here on your home for Paladins football. It is us. It is here. It is The Fan, Upstate.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.